of April 5th, call the special assembly meeting to order, and we've got Glenora is acting clerk, so what, you want to call roll?
Denise? Here. Brenda? Here. Josie? Josie? Carol? Here. Warren?
Here.
Paul?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Daly? Daly? Sam? Tom?
Yes.
Tom? We have a quorum.
Okay, thank you. So, adoption of the agenda, and I've got one thing here I want to read on approving when we call to approve the agenda. So, when the matter was first placed on an executive session regarding the finance department, the administration reached out to both the former employee and the current employee, asking whether or not they would waiver a public hearing, thus allowing the assembly to enter into an executive session. Originally, they both stated that they agreed to waive a public hearing. Over the weekend, one of them changed her mind and demanding the matter be brought up during a public meeting. Since then, both employees have agreed to have any discussion regarding the finance department during a public meeting. This means we cannot have an executive session on the finance department. Any discussion must take place during an open public meeting. So now, how does the assembly wish to proceed? Do you want to take the matter off the agenda, or do you want a discussion in the open public meeting?
If they've requested to do it in an open meeting, then we can have discussion.
You read that kind of fast. So
can I read it again?
Hard to follow.
Okay. Approving the agenda. When the matter was first placed on for an executive session regarding the finance department, the administration reached out to both the former employee and current employee asking whether or not they would waive a public hearing, thus allowing the assembly to enter into an executive session. Originally, they both stated that they agreed to waive a public hearing. Over the weekend, one of them changed her mind, demanding the matter be brought up during a public meeting. Since then, both employees have agreed to have any discussion regarding the finance department during a public meeting. This means we cannot have an executive session on the finance department. Any discussion must take place during an open public meeting. So how does the assembly wish to proceed? Do you want to take the matter off the agenda, or do you want to have a discussion in an open public meeting?
We're in a public meeting right now. You called a meeting to order, so
yeah,
we're in a public meeting now, and there's things that can be discussed.
Right.
But, yeah.
So, so we just need to adopt the agenda. I guess we can leave the executive session on there, but we just won't go into it.
Correct.
So we need somebody to make a motion. Okay, motion by Warren. Okay, thank you.
Hey, Alvin, this is Chris.
Hi, Chris.
So, this open meeting that we're going into now, we don't have to let those employees know that we're having this meeting, or does it have to be scheduled at a different time? Or I'm kind of a little bit not fully understanding that part.
Right. Mr. Mayor, can I respond?
Go ahead.
Okay. So, Chris, the Open Meetings Act is really clear on reasons that an assembly or a council can go into executive session. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can, Joe.
Okay, I just want to make sure I can be heard. Okay, so basically when you have a subject that is that qualifies for an Open Meetings Act, but it has to do with individuals, and you have, and you know, like when we're going to talk about the finance department, the administration doesn't really know what all the assembly wants to discuss. We know they can't talk personnel issues, but we know if they talked in general about the finance department, that the names of the two employees, both a former employee and a current employee, may be discussed. And under the Open Meeting Act, subjects that tend to prejudice the reputation and character of any person can be discussed in an executive session, provided that person may request a public discussion. So what's happened, Chris, is we had queued this up for an executive session. We'd gone back to both those employees to say, hey, you know, the chances are they're going to talk about your character and reputation. Do you want that in a public meeting? And they both now said that they would like that in a public meeting. As Paul indicated, we're in a public meeting. So if the assembly wants to continue on with this discussion, it'll all be public. Both the employees have waived, you know, they haven't waived. They said they want it in public. So that's where we're at, and we can, if the assembly so desires, we can go ahead and have a conversation about the finance department in a public meeting that's open to the public.
Okay, I understand that, Joe. I just wanted to make sure that we didn't have to give those employees an opportunity to be here at this meeting. That's what I just didn't quite understand.
Right, and they could be here if they were in King Cove or Sandpoint or any of the hubs. They could call in.
And because of the request, they should both know this is taking place. Okay.
I don't have anything further, Mayor.
Okay. So do we have any public comments on this agenda item? How about, does anybody feel like they'd have a conflict of interest on the agenda? Okay, so we are down to the Finance Department discussion.
Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, this is Joe Levesque. I just have a short thing that I want to read to the Assembly before we proceed any further. So I'm just going to go ahead and read this. If you have any questions, interrupt me. I'll be happy to answer any questions, either during the discussion or at the end. So this memo that I wrote, basically, it states, on April 5th, today, 2022, the Aleutians East Borough Assembly will hold a special assembly meeting and an executive session, because that's what we thought we were going to have, to discuss personnel issues regarding the borough's finance department. We have identified two issues that the assembly must keep in mind related to the special assembly meeting and the executive session. First, we have recommended, and when I say we, I mean the attorney's office, has recommended that the borough give extra notice of the special meeting under Alaska's Open Meetings Act. Second, we believe that the matter may invoke a separation of powers issue, and so we're going to discuss both those issues. The first issue, the Aleutians East Borough Assembly has requested an executive session to discuss personnel issues regarding the borough's finance department. While the borough assembly is not authorized to engage in personnel matters involving borough employees, the assembly is authorized to review individual departments and ongoing issues in the departments. Because this matter is somewhat unusual, we have recommended that the borough administration provide more notice than is usually given to the public of the upcoming meeting and executive session. The Open Meetings Act requires that reasonable public notice be given for all meetings of the borough assembly. Usually, Alaska municipalities give the public 5 days' notice for all scheduled meetings. That's the norm. An element of reasonable public notice is its timeliness. To determine what public notice is reasonable, all of the circumstances must be considered. If the public entity of a governmental body has set its own reasonable notice requirements, like 5 days, which are more specific than the OMA requirements, they should be followed. Failure to follow a notice requirement established by municipal code will be evidence of failure to give reasonable notice, which could result in a court finding that the Open Meetings Act has been violated. The case that we used to make this determination that we needed to give extra or super notice is the Tunley case, and that is Tunley versus Municipality of Anchorage School District. It's a 1980 case. And in that case, the Anchorage School District was considering closing two elementary schools. In the end, the district chose to close a school that it had never identified as one being considered for closure. The district properly noticed its meeting date and time using its normal 5-day notice requirement to the public. One of the issues in the case was whether or not the district gave reasonable public notice. Under the facts, it was noted that the district first identified the new elementary school just 5 days prior to the district's taking formal action by adopting its closure plan. The court determined that the 5-day notice was inadequate notice to the public. The court's decision amounts to consideration of all circumstances before noticing a public meeting, especially on a contentious community issue. And so because we weren't really sure how this was going to all unfold, we decided to give extra notice so nobody could claim that there wasn't reasonable notice for this meeting. Now, the second issue is separation of powers. Does everybody understand separation of powers? Separation of power, it's the balancing, you know, act that our government has set up, that we have an administrative body or executive, or we have a legislative body or assembly, and we have a judiciary body, which, again, is the assembly when it acts as a board of adjustment. Let's say that there's a planning and zoning appeal, and it goes to the assembly. So you've got three branches of government. So whenever assembly members directly involve themselves with borough personnel issues, the separations of power doctrine is or can be implicated. The borough assembly, as the local governing body, has a number of powers which are listed within Alaska State Statute Title 29. It should be noted that the borough assembly's primary authority is within its legislative and policy-making powers. It is the legislative branch of the borough government. Under the borough code, the borough has adopted a strong mayor form of government. This means all executive power and administrative power are vested in the mayor. The mayor's powers are the same as those of a city manager under Alaska Statute 2920-500. This also means that it is the mayor who has authority to appoint, suspend, remove city employees and administrative officials as provided in the borough's personnel ordinance. The definition of separation of powers, it's the division of governmental authority into three branches of government, legislative, executive, and judicial, each with specific duties on which neither of the other branches can encroach. A constitutional doctrine of checks and balances is designed to protect the people from tyranny. The mayor must take appropriate action when personnel issues arise in the borough. In the Aleutians East Borough, the mayor is vested with the power and authority to deal directly with borough employee personnel issues. Assembly members are not to interfere or get involved with personnel issues. Such interference would be a violation of the separations of power doctrine. When assembly members have questions or concerns regarding borough employees or employee matters, they should go directly to the mayor to discuss. Assembly members have no authority in personnel issues and should not involve themselves. If the borough assembly does not have an assembly policy and procedures manual handbook, it should consider adopting one which will address the prohibition of violating the separation of powers doctrine, as well as not interfering with borough employees. Finally, I provide separately by attachment, and it's back page here. It's sort of a governmental policy and procedures handbook, which addresses the same issue of separation of powers. And just briefly, and I'm almost done, what this basically says is that non-interference with administrative servants, and so in this case they're using a city council, but they say that neither the council nor any of its members shall interfere with the execution by the manager, or in this case the mayor, of his or her powers and duties in order directly or indirectly the appointment of the city manager, or by any of the departmental heads in the administrative services of the city, of any person to any office or employment, or his or her removal therefrom, except for the purpose of inquiry. The council and its members shall deal with the administrative services solely through the city manager, in this case it's the mayor, and neither the council nor any member thereof shall give orders to any subordinate of the city manager, either publicly or privately. city manager, or in this case the mayor, shall take his or her order instructions from the assembly only when it is sitting in a lawfully held meeting. Inquiry is defined as a request for information readily available, of need for extensive research, study, or subordinates of the city manager or the mayor. So, you know, what this basically says is that the city council shall deal with the administrative services of the city only the city manager or the mayor, except for the purpose of inquiry. And neither the city council nor any member thereof shall give orders to subordinates of the city manager. No member of the city council shall publicly criticize or censure any staff member of the borough, and shall instead rely on criticism of a staff member privately with the mayor. And so I just wanted to bring that up because this separation of powers issue is one that I think has been invoked. I still don't know what the assembly wants to talk about other than the finance department, but I just want the assembly to realize that it has its own domain, its own jurisdiction, and the mayor has the human resources director has his own. So I just wanted to highlight those for you. And with that, Mr. Mayor?
Okay. Any questions for Joel right now? If not, so like you said, administration assembly called for this meeting, so we don't really have any idea what you want to discuss, so if somebody wants to start, we'll go from there. Off.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. One thing that's not quite clear to me, and perhaps it could be clarified, what the status of our finance office is. I'm not completely sure, for the record, what...
Who's working there, that type of thing?
Yeah, that's
Annie?
Basically.
Yeah, so currently our acting finance director is Jackie Brandle. We are in the process of preparing the next steps, which we haven't fully decided on at this point. So she's acting. It's a temporary position in nature, and then we'll have a position here soon.
And our former employee, what's the status, official status?
So, the assembly and myself and Mayor Osterbach received a letter dated March 5th with her resignation, and I have not spoken to her since then. So, everything you guys know is what I know, but she did resign effective March 5th.
And then, Mr. Mayor, we also have a contract employee who plays a role that I haven't met the person. I don't even know the person's name. I don't even know what the salary is of the contract employee. How does that employee fit in with the finance department?
So it's Esplin and Associates. She is our contract accountant for right now. She has been assisting with the audit prep largely and also with this change over to new software, and she will be assisting with, she's been helping with the transition to some degree. Currently, a lot of the items are going through the acting finance director, and I'm reviewing them because we have to have the checks and balances, so that's occurring daily, weekly, as needed. So, yeah.
For the record, though, she's not an employee.
She's
a contractor.
Contract.
And just so the assembly knows, I know Sarah Esplin because other municipalities that I represent, like Unalaska, I've represented them in the past, but I know they've used her extensively. And I know Bristol Bay Borough used her, and it was the same thing. New finance computer system was coming in, and she was the one that helped get that all jump-started. So I know that she has the expertise.
And I think we entered into contract with her for full charge bookkeeping, and we need to update that because the things evolve over time. But we're working on that as well. But she's going to sustain us throughout all.
To clarify the contract employee, who does she answer to? Does she answer to the finance department? Does she answer to the administration or the mayor? I'm not sure
she's
how.
She's been working, universally with everyone, but I guess largely me.
She's you're the person who gives her direction, and she answers directly to you.
Josie?
My question was, hiring for that finance director position, is that just going to be in King Cove, or is it going to be open for King Cove, Sound Point, or Anchorage, or what is the job?
Well, I think as far as the borough policies are, you know, when they started the borough, the mayor and the clerk were in Sandpoint. Finance department was in King Cove. But I don't think there's anything written where it has to be. I didn't find anything, I don't think. But personally, I'm not planning on moving it, you know, unless we just can't get anybody that wants to work there, which is possible. But, and we're going to go for, you know, Annie and I still have to talk about, you know, we'll do probably the in-house and then expand it out, and we're still discussing whether or not we're a headhunter. But it's a pretty important position.
That's why I was wondering, you know, there's not very many people in King Cove who would qualify or want to apply.
No.
You know, would you look at opening it up to other communities, or Anchorage?
And we may have to. I'm not saying that's what we're going to do, but I would like to keep them the way I'd like to keep it operating the way it operates. It's been doing that for 30 some years, and it's worked really well. So. Others?
I hate to see this is Warren. I'd hate to see the job be moved away, but if the borough is evolving with time, that we can somebody's there that's qualified for the job, and able to keep a site there where we could, you know, hold meetings where we're in our own little office, be more secure on the over the phone meetings. You know, that's what we need. And that's just how it'll work. But I know we have to go ahead and search and find somebody new now, and I just was kind of caught off guard by all of this, but if it comes down to the evolution of our borough and we need to streamline things, that's what's going to have to happen.
Yeah. Other comments?
Mr. Mayor, this is Carol.
Go ahead, Carol.
I just have a couple comments, I guess. I'm kind of saddened that we've evolved to make people who are in the borough working feel that they're not adequate to do the job of the new norm, I guess. I don't know what it is. I mean, whether it be the software update or working with a middle person, and, you know, we ran so smooth for so long on what we had, and it's worked, it's understandable. It's a good deal. I have a great deal of problem with trying to make things better, and I know it's the way of the world, but, you know, I am just deeply saddened that the old way was ended so quickly. And, you know, do we need that many people in finance? Do we need a finance director, an assistant, Annie taking charge? And another person take a charge, and then whatever. It just seems like, for our small little thing, it seems like an awful lot of people doing a one-person or two-person job. So that's just my comment. So, but I am very saddened that we've had to come to this point, or that the finance director, the past finance director, thought our only way out was to resign. So I'm very saddened by that, and I hope we kind of keep people's integrity and what they've done for us on the front burner instead of the back burner. So that's all I have to say.
Okay. Thank you, Carol. Yeah, and I can assure you from looking at the finances and all of the items that deals with, we need two people in the finance department for sure. That's really the heart of the borough is the finances, and that has to be taken care of So I am going to pursue it as we're going to maintain that, and hopefully as we move on down the road, like I said, we do have a contract person, and the reason they are a contract person is that's not a permanent position. So as we get this new software system online and everybody gets familiar with it, hopefully we will be back to two people in the finance department and an administrator to oversee them. Others? Oh, Paul, did you have another comment?
Yes, thank you. If the assembly decided it wanted to review the email communication between the finance department and the administration in the next few months, do they have the right to do that?
Not if it involves personnel matters, but if it involves strictly finance matters, then I don't see any reason that the administration wouldn't share that with you if you wanted to see, you know, how the operation is progressing.
So if the assembly wanted to look at those, would it need to make a motion requesting this day-to-day operations information?
That's a great question, Paul. Brings to mind the separation of powers issue, because I've dealt with this many times with many different bodies. And if I had an assembly member who on his own went out and started investigating things and looking at stuff, I would say that he's rogue or she's rogue. But if the body says, we need to investigate this department, we want to monitor this, the body has an absolute right to do that. But the assembly is a body, and it acts only as a body. So I've had assembly members go out and decide to do inventory, like at the port or something, you know, just on their own. It wasn't authorized by the body. That's what I mean. It's a separation of powers issue. That person had no right doing that. If the assembly had said, we want this done, then it could be done. But one person can't lead the charge alone. The body has to act. So, yeah, to answer your question, yes.
So just my point of view, I think it would be appropriate in this case if the assembly made a motion asked to review communications. I think it would help us do our job and kind of shed more light on the subject.
Right. And Annie, you don't have any opposition to that, do you? But I wouldn't think you would, Mr. Mayor.
No. I don't know whether it be, I don't know if the assembly would support it or not, but I don't know whether it would be appropriate, but after.
Well, here's something to think about. All the emails and everything are there. They're not going anywhere. But let me tell you something. Since all of this took place, finance has probably been taking up the lion's share of the time for Annie and for Jackie and the contract person that we have. Because it's not just a resignation and they left. There's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of accounts. The borough has quite a bit of funding. So we have money in different places. Different people have signature cards. There's bond issues that have to be taken care of. So right now, everybody's pretty doggone busy putting all this stuff back together. So it's not like everybody's just sitting around not doing anything. So if you do this, if the assembly wants to do it, I guess that's fine. They can do it, but I would wait a while before you you institute this, because we're not going to be able to get to it for a while. Just so you know.
Mr. Mayor, this is Brenda.
Hey, Brenda.
Hi. So, you know, to request to look at emails, that means you'll have to separate all the emails out from whatever else, other emails, other, you know, tasks, other things that you're dealing with on a day-to-day basis. I don't think that's something we should get into as a board. I don't like the idea of micromanaging, and to me that's what it seems like. Like when I had a supervisor who got emails from different things and then she resigned and left, and I got portions of her email to be able to do my job moving forward, I still didn't get to see all her emails. That's why it would be really difficult, I think, to pull out emails from the finance department and only be the finance department. And I just, that doesn't sit right with me. And we are not supposed to do personnel. That's my understanding, and that was explained to that to us by our lawyer. That so I think we really have to be careful in that arena about how much we want to get into viewing many different things and not turn have it turn it into a micromanagement situation.
Mr. Mayor, you know, maybe just the reports from the finance department that are given at assembly meetings or, you know, given at different times, quarterly or what else, maybe that would be enough for the assembly to understand, you know, exactly what changes are being made and how that department is running.
Yeah. I don't know. So, yeah, and it, you know, there's nothing sinister or anything out there. It's just... we got the same information that the assembly did at actually same time because the resignation went out to everyone. So that's kind of where we're dealing from. So other than that.
Mr. Mayor, this is Chris.
Okay, Chris.
Yeah, I agree with Brenda. I don't support looking at emails. You know, we don't need to get into micromanaging. And I'm kind of glad that we don't really... have authority to govern over our personnel as borough assembly members, but I do echo with Carol. I was very saddened with the letter that we received, and I still am kind of not fully understanding why we had to change finance software. I mean, everything seemed to look good what we had before. And, you know, my philosophy is if it's not broken, don't fix it. And so it seems like I don't know if this is kind of what maybe has spawned it or what, but I don't fully understand. So that's all.
Hey, Annie, you want to say anything on the software?
I mean, I guess all I've said before is the software was from the 80s and... We were to the point where updates weren't really updating things, so having the new software will really help make it more efficient in the department.
Mr. Mayor, you know, Chris, it's like any software. You know, I use software, I fall in love with it, and then all of a sudden it's not supported. And they force you to go to new software. And I've seen many municipalities around the state in the last few years go into new finance software, and it's not easy. It's sometimes it's a learning curve, you know, to do that. But at least you'll have support, which your old software may not have provided.
Yeah, and we've been told by our accountants and people that do our audits that basically it wasn't matching with the systems that they had because it is so old. I think this is the only system that borough probably had from the beginning, and it's just so outdated. So. It needs to be changed to keep up with the new software, you know, things now that you have to do multiple pages or push 40 buttons to get. Hopefully the new one, you'll push two or three buttons and it'll be done for you. That's kind of what we're looking at. And I'm not a software person, so don't pin me down on any of it. But,
Mr. Mayor, you know what might help is I don't believe we've even RFP'd that. You have got the RFP? Have you accepted one?
It's going before at the next.
Okay, so when you get that software company on board, you know, you may want a presentation like a workshop, a work session with the assembly so that whoever it is that has this new software can come in and explain to the assembly, why did we have to do this? You know, what was wrong with our old system? Ask those questions, and you'll get the answers.
Yeah. You had a question.
I just wanted to make a comment that, after we got the resignation, we had a time to resonate on it, and then we got the other email the other day, and we are respecting the outgoing finance director with her wishes not to do this in a executive session. So I am not saying that I'm comfortable with it. I'm just saying that we just have to go through our protocols to get this transition in place. And if it was over the software, I guess that's kind of what I'm hearing here. So I just want to leave it at that.
Okay. Yeah, and as we go forward...
Mayor Osterbeck, Chris here again.
Go ahead, Chris.
Getting back to hiring a new finance director, and the position is here in King Cove, wasn't it that we were only going to hire a secretary for Sandpoint if they could stay in Sandpoint? So, you know, why can't that be the same case here for King Cove? You know, I know that's kind of why we had kind of a little bit of struggle of hiring somebody for Sandpoint, or for that position in Sandpoint, because that position stayed in Sandpoint. So I just don't want to see us lose the position out here in King Cove.
Chris, we don't, you know, we talked about this a little bit ago, and so that's something that we're going to shoot for. We want to make sure that the structure of the borough stays the same, the positions stay where they are. I think the borough states that the mayor and the clerk in Sandpoint, I think that's the only one that does state. Somebody's beeping something. But yeah, we're going to, you know, we're going to move forward on this, and we'll keep everybody up to date on what's going on, like we have since I've been here. I mean, basically, I want to make sure everybody knows where we're going and why we're going there before we do it. Paul?
Mayor,
Hold on a minute. Paul got the floor.
Yeah, well, this seems... I haven't quite figured out. That's why I'm glad we're having a meeting to talk about it. But we had a long-term employment of many years. I think maybe a couple years from retirement just resigns. It's troublesome to me. I don't know the circumstances at all, and I thought looking at emails would be good for the Assembly to know a little bit more. And I'm still an appropriate time here. I will make a motion if people support it, fine. If they don't, fine. But it's... I know I feel responsible to know more, and you know, the borough's going to be here a long time after we're gone. And I think it's good for the borough for us to go through this process and everybody feel better about it one way or the other. But thank you.
Okay. But just remember, we're not going to talk personnel issues. That's not on the table.
I didn't. I don't believe I have.
Someone else online.
Yeah, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly, this is Daly.
Oh, hi, Daly.
So, hi, I was on here listening the whole time. I was just curious, okay, so say, you know, anyone that's on the borough assembly, not on the assembly, but, you know, working for the borough, for us, for the assembly. Say, just a question. Somebody resigns, and you know, and there's reasons behind it. But when a person resigns, and then who accepts the resignation? Is that the mayor, or is that the whole assembly? It was just a question I had there, and. Yeah, it seems like if someone doesn't know something that's been working for the borough for a long time, that they could work with them to show them the new, you know, the new books, QuickBooks, or whatever books they may be, you know, the new finance way or whatever, you know, work with them. I just don't understand that part, why... she thought she had to resign. I don't know. It's just a question.
Daly, if an employee resigns, it goes through the administration, not through the assembly. Personnel issues are all done through administration.
Okay. I just wanted
Mr. Mayor, the only exception may be the clerk.
The clerk works for the...
If she works for the assembly, right. That would be the only exception.
Yeah. Did you get that? So the clerk does work. You know, we changed that a couple of years ago, so the clerk works for the assembly. So
okay.
That's the one position.
I just thought maybe that would, you know, clarify, you know, just clarify it.
Mr. Mayor, just in talking about that, my understanding, this is what I heard when Tina left, that she'd never had an evaluation from the assembly. And so I would urge the assembly in the future to look for an annual evaluation of the clerk.
I think we did one.
We did one when we were here.
Yeah, in Anchorage.
But that was like the last year.
Yeah, but she was just getting ready to leave then.
Right. Well, anyway, I mean, it's really important to do these personnel annual evaluations, because if you have an employee who, for some reason, has a squabble with the borough, and you can show that there's no evaluations, you've never told this employee what your expectations are, what they can do to be better, it will be detrimental against the borough. The borough will look really bad if that person, you know, were to sue the borough or something. So you've got to keep those annual evaluations up.
Well, not only that, it helps. Like, if the person feels like they need training somewhere, you know, on their self-evaluation, they add that in there, that this would help me. And then on the other part, their boss, in their evaluation, says what they feel like they're lacking in, and it, so then it gives them a chance to go forward a little easier. Everybody understands then where you're going.
This is Denise. I just pulled up the letter that was written to the assembly, and it just talked about someone needing someone with a higher education to work. So what you were saying, if it was about getting more training for something, then I feel like it should be offered. So maybe, I don't know if that's up to the employer to say, hey, you need more training on this, or if it's up to the employee to say, I need training on certain things. Both. I'm just noting that only because that's what was written.
It's both, Denise.
Okay.
So the way I do evaluations for my small firm is I give my employee an evaluation of length form, and then I say, fill it out. And then I fill mine out, and then we sit at the table.
Yeah, and that's what we do.
Okay, that was noted in the resignation letter, so that's why I thought it was of importance that looked like the main reason. So.
No, everyone gets the same one here, so. And that's in the jobs that I've had, that's always the way it was, too. You did self-evaluation, and both sat down, and sometimes you found out you should have gave yourself a little more points. But you didn't. Sometimes you gave yourself too many and they took them away from you, but it works.
Well, it is important to have yearly evaluations because both of you know what's going on and too much of time that goes by.
And for a few years here, there were no evaluations. So I think I got them started back up again. Anything else? Paul?
Yeah. Well, in the last few meetings, I know there's been a change on how, during our regular meeting, how the financial reports have been presented, and without naming anybody, just different. And so I still have some confusion in my own mind about how our finances are run, because the assembly has full authority over appropriating money and deciding where everything goes. It's important to get the information about the finance department. So if nobody else has it, I want to put out a motion that we do get a copy of emails concerning just the function of a finance department, so it's clear, so everyone's clarified on how it runs. Anyway, this is a short motion. That we get the appropriate emails that show how our finance ops runs. Help us do our job. Thank you.
What kind of emails? There's not a lot of emails that go back and forth. I don't know what you're talking about. It's changed the last few meetings. It's the same as it's been since I've been here. At every meeting, Annie goes through the finances, and I don't know what changed. I don't understand your question.
You wouldn't accept my motion, is that what you're saying?
Well, no, I was just having a discussion. Can I have a discussion with you? If not, just go ahead and make your motion. Go ahead. I'll write it down. What is it?
Yeah, I make a motion that the Assembly just gets a copy of emails from the administration of the Finance Department for the last 6 months.
This is what we just had a discussion on, you know, before you get a second to it. And most of the Assembly members said no, they didn't want to micromanage. They didn't want to get into that. So you're not asking for something here forward. You're asking for the ones from in the past, so just to clarify. So, do we have a second to Paul's motion?
I'll second.
Okay. Josie seconded. Discussion?
To clarify what the intent of my motion, Mr. Mayor, just not every email, but the ones that show that the finance office does this, or our consultant reviews this, or just so we know. Anyway, it's not all email, especially ones that concern personnel that may affect personnel issues. That's not what I'd like to see. But.
Annie?
So if the emails have bank account numbers and stuff like that, they'll probably need to be redacted.
Other comments on the motion? Call the question on the motion.
Denise?
Yes.
Brenda?
No.
Josie?
Yes.
Carol?
No.
Warren?
No.
Paul?
Yes.
Chris?
No.
Daly?
No.
Samantha?
No.
Motion failed.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. Okay, so this is the only item that we have on our agenda. So is there anything else on this discussion item that anybody has?
Mr. Mayor, this is Carol.
Go ahead, Carol.
Maybe instead of saying we don't do emails, I don't believe that we belong looking at people's emails. I get mad when my family looks at mine. But maybe what we need to do is have a kind of a step-by-step, this is the start of paying the bill, this is where it goes, this is what gets done. Maybe just a small understanding of who does what inside the finance thing. Maybe that's what we need. Maybe we need to know what's job or whose job or whatever, because it used to be a two-man job. Now it's like a five-person job. So can we just kind of go in that direction where it just can be written up as, this is what I do, this is what she does, this is what they do, blah, 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 blah. Could we do something like that instead of an email thing?
Yeah, I'll let Annie wants to respond.
So I can give you a general overview. Right now, part of our strategic plan is to update policies and procedures. A lot of this hasn't been written down about how things were going. We have journal entry policies. We have bank reconciliation policies that we need to follow for audit purposes. There's a lot of things involved, and we are working on those. We're trying to do four or five, I think a quarter, and as those come out, I'll be happy to share those with the Assembly. But a lot of that's not in writing. So I can give you a general overview if that works. And then as the policies come out, we can provide those.
You know, and one other thing on that, too, and I think Attorney brought it up. You know, once we bring this new company on board and we get things up and running, maybe it would be a good time to have a workshop, have them here, and they can go through the whole financial network, exactly how this thing works and who's responsible for what parts of it.
Okay, this is Carol. I'm good with that. You know, I get the understanding that We'll never know really what happened to the past finance director, and it's not our business, and it's not our place. So let's just move forward then and do the best we can moving forward.
Okay. Thank you. Josie.
I just wanted to say, I kind of understand where Paul's coming from, not so much as micromanaging, but wanting to be able to move forward, you know, whatever problem there might have been, you know, losing a long-time employee abruptly, to move forward and, you know, hopefully we won't end up in that situation again. And that's just how I seen it. So,
bye.
That's my...
Others? Okay. If there's no other comments or anything on this, I'll offer a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn, Warren.
Thank you, Warren. Second by Jason. Okay, thanks, everybody. And don't forget, the 14th is our regular meeting.